So for Palm Sunday, Matthew 21 tells the story of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, the fulfillment of Zechariah 9:9, which says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And I'm sorry, boys, I should have thought of bringing a donkey with me today, shouldn't I? Again, next year, maybe. But by riding on a donkey instead of a horse, humble while the crowds shout Hosanna, Matthew says in verse 10 that when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil. The whole city was in turmoil. Now, I know we all have emotions. And so think for a moment about the range of emotions of that Palm Sunday. The triumph and humility, excitement of all the miracles having just taken place. We read about them in the previous chapters. The chaos and the confusion as people ask, who is this? And certainly, uncertainty, as the crowds say, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. All that emotion, all that chaos and confusion. And so this captures something of the emotional roller coaster that is Holy Week. The people think they know Jesus when they shout, Hosanna. The people reject Jesus when they shout, crucify him. The crowds gather to hear him teach in the synagogue, and then they gather to shout insults during his trial. So the disciples bring Jesus on a donkey to ride, and they place their cloaks on the donkey, preparing the way for the Messiah. They will all flee from him when he's arrested. Now, as we prepare for the joy of Easter, as we prepare for our own celebration of resurrection and new life in Christ, in our own lives, we know that it will not be easy, because life is not always easy. We must go through Good Friday. In this world, while we sometimes struggle, we go through times when we feel triumphant and vindicated. We know that Christ reigns forever. We know that love wins. But at times, it seems that we're in the darkest valley. We remember this is the emotional contrast that is found in Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, a dichotomy that exists in our own lives today. And Psalm 118, as we shared earlier, notes Palm Sunday as triumphant, joyful, song appropriate for remembering the palms and echoing the passage Jesus quotes while in the temple. And we have every confidence that we too can be joyful in hope. As humble King, Jesus enters the streets of Jerusalem. He enters our own personal chaos and our own personal confusion. And similarly to the cloaks and the branches that were laid down for Jesus on that Palm Sunday, we can be reminded that there are things in our lives that we perhaps need to lay down to surrender to him again today. To surrender to him, to lay down those things in order to magnify and glorify him. The sovereign Lord has given me a well-instructed tongue, says Isaiah, not me, to know the word that sustains us with the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being instructed. The sovereign Lord has opened my ears. I have not been rebellious. I have not turned away. I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. Because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know I will not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who then will bring charges against me? Let us face each other. Who is my accuser? Let him confront me. It is the sovereign Lord who helps me. Who will condemn me? They will all wear out like a garment. The moths will be eaten will eat them up. From Isaiah 50, verses 4 to 9, where we read of an ancient song and a suffering servant. The Jewish interpretation of these texts has long been to see the people Israel as a suffering servant. They are the ones who went into exile and were brought out of exile as an example for the world of God's faithfulness, also for God's punishment. And in this song, the suffering servant takes his punishment from his enemies, but remains hopeful of God's vindication and justice as he proclaims his innocence. Philippians 2, you're familiar with that. We've shared it just a few weeks ago. It shares the ancient church hymn of Christ Jesus, who emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, becoming humble and obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name. We all know the songs. We all know the verses. We all know the story. So what's new for us? What is new is what is old. What we all need to remember that when we read the story, it speaks of an angry mob, a politician who feels he can do nothing, a corrupt criminal system, and a society caught in the tension of Roman rule and the desire for Jewish independence, religious arguments while the poor were marginalised, and one man who did not fit into any of these groups. Vying for power in ancient Palestine, he becomes a scapegoat. The scapegoat, but our saviour. Our saviour who remained humble despite the cheers of the crowds. Our king who pardons us when we go along with a crowd, rather than stepping out and making a difference. Our redeemer who did the unexpected and did not conform to our ways of thinking. Our Saviour, our Redeemer, our King who changed the world. And glory to him, he is still changing the world. And praise his name, he changes our perspectives on our own personal confusion and our own personal chaos. And by his power, he even turns that around. Praise his name, he's still changing us if we put ourselves in that position of wanting to be changed. So we give all praise to him. But I wonder, how do our lives speak his praise? How do they speak his praise other days of the week? Shall we pray together? We confess, Lord, that all too often we've been part of the crowd. So, Lord, help us to speak out when you want us to. Too often we've gone along with others. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to go your way. Lord, sometimes when things go our way, we believe our lives are good because we worked hard. When things do not go our way, we blame others for our troubles. So, God, help us to take responsibility, not only for our own lives, but for the lives of our neighbours. Forgive us when we have forgotten your commandments and have failed to love our neighbours as ourselves, but instead have judged others, believing them not to be worthy of our help or our compassion, maybe because they don't do the things as we expect, or maybe because they don't look as we expect. Help us, Lord, to look at others as you see them. Loved children, loved by you. Lord, we thank you for your love, your great love and your great mercy that you show to us each individually. And Lord, right now we want to proclaim that you are Lord of our lives. Not just Lord of our lives on a small spot on a Sunday, but Lord of our lives over everything and every day. Lord, be Lord of our lives. We offer ourselves to you again today. Amen.